Now then, some couples are not like the rest of us. There's this air of destiny, of purpose, of direction to their relationship, to the point where the rest of us kind of feed off their relationship. You know who I'm talking about. Snap Judgment.
When I think about the relationships I've been in, it seems like 50 to 80% of the time has always been spent trying to break up. It's like the first time I call someone my boyfriend is just the beginning of goodbye. And I'm not the only one. I look around at my friends and I see long, drawn-out breakups. Of all the people I know around my age, there's one couple I can picture still fiercely in love 40 years down the line. One couple. My old roommate, Claire, and her boyfriend, Finbloom. Finbloom and Claire told me they want to get married someday, and that I'd get the enormous honor of officiating their wedding. I can remember so clearly when they first met.
I remember in the beginning, like, I thought that he was a lot older.
We had really animalistic physical chemistry.
You could see his body hair, like, coming out at the edges of his shirt. He kind of seemed like an animal.
When you just are coming into that with someone, it's like pretty intense.
Claire met Aaron Finbloom in a coffee shop in Brooklyn. Finbloom, by the way, is called Finbloom because the name Aaron sounds so tame. And Finbloom is a very eccentric man. That's what Claire loved about him.
Our first date was when we went to see the Neo-Futurists. They do like 20 plays in an hour. And I was really struck by the way that Aaron was like talking to strangers the entire time. Being around Finbloom, it's like having a magnet. I guess because he wears his eccentricity on his sleeve or his forehead or it draws other people toward him.
On that first date, Claire and Finbloom were so excited by each other, they literally skipped through the streets. Finbloom used to carry around an accordion and he would serenade Claire outside her window at night. Claire once wrote a poem and left it for Finbloom in his bedroom. And I don't mean a little note on the pillow. The poem, conceived on sticky notes, covered the surface of his desk, traveled down across the floor, and then up along his bookshelf and walls. It spanned the entirety of his room. Finbloom says it was one of the best presents he ever got.
Hello, this is Sharon. Leave a message.
Hey, Sherman, Claire. Finbloom and I want to ask you something that no one has ever asked you before, and no one will ever ask you again. So just give me a call back, whenever, and I look forward to talking to you.
I'd been out of town for a while, and rumor had it Finbloom and Claire were going polyamorous. So the message could have only meant one thing. Did I want to have a threesome? Suffice it to say, I didn't call them back for a while. Then I get this email in my inbox from Finbloom. Here's Finbloom.
Dear friend, we, Clarence Steinbloom, broke up on the 1st of October, and we feel we must honor the death of our relationship by laying it to rest in the earth in the presence of its most dearly beloved.
They broke up. My favorite couple. No longer a couple. It's embarrassing to admit this, but I was devastated. So, okay, back to that mysterious phone message. The question no one had ever asked me and no one would ever ask me again. Would I officiate the funeral of their relationship, their unwedding?
In accordance with Jewish tradition, we hope to have the funeral as soon as possible. And so it is with great love, endearment, and gratitude that we invite you to our unwedding. Dress is formal, expressive, symbolic. Much love, Aaron Finbloom and Claire Epstein.
Claire and Finbloom did, in fact, have 3 very happy years in a solid relationship. But then that thing happened that happens in all of our relationships. What Claire fell in love with turned stale. Finbloom's eccentricity stopped being thrilling to her and instead became embarrassing. For example, when Finbloom and Claire went out one Halloween, Claire was confronted with a few difficult facts. 1, Finbloom was completely naked. 2, he was draped head to toe in rotting, raw fish. All Halloween night, when Finbloom would walk down the street, others would have to cross the street. The stench was so severe. When Claire first told the story of this Halloween, she was all giggles and, "Isn't Finbloom great?" But the longer they were together, and the more times Claire told the story, the more she seemed bothered by it. And at a certain point, Claire simply did not want to be the person standing next to the naked man, wearing rotting raw fish.
Dearly beloved, thanks for coming to Finbloom and Claire's Unwedding. We are here because the two people standing before you have dared to reimagine breaking up.
From the first moment, the unwedding had lots of correlations with an actual wedding. Finbloom's best friend Abe flew in from Minneapolis to perform as best man. Our friend Richard, who photographs weddings professionally, was there taking pictures. I wore a long black velvet gown. I was heartbroken that my friends were breaking up. But as two of the world's best weirdos, at least they were doing it in a weirdo way. Standing at the gates of Prospect Park in Brooklyn, for the 12 or so guests and myself, whatever skepticism we may have had seemed to fade away when we saw the unbride.
I hadn't seen her in like 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, she looked really beautiful, as I usually think she does when I see her.
The leaves were like bright yellow. It was so beautiful. You know, the height of autumn. Yeah, I was really happy that day just because I felt like all my friends were like coming together. I felt really excited about the next chapter of my life and also felt really grateful to Finbloom for working through this with me. But then seeing Finbloom was like this reminder of like, oh my God, this is so profoundly painful. And I think he still kind of didn't understand in some ways.
For the ceremony, Finbloom and Claire designed rituals for themselves. It was sort of like writing your own vows, only writing them completely for yourself. Finbloom's ritual was to purge himself of all the sweet nothings Claire had ever texted him.
In a moment, I'm going to ask you to approach Finbloom one by one and whisper your message into his ear.
He typed them all out, he printed them, and then he deleted them from his computer and phone.
And I ask that as you deliver the message...
The hardest part for me was, well, I think the one I did the most crying was probably during when the text messages were read. Everyone took turns kneeling down on the ground, whispering the text messages into my ear.
I guess the ones that were either funny or sweet, and I kind of didn't realize until the last minute, erotic.
Excuse me? Read all the messages that you have.
I love it when you get out of the shower. And your towel falls, and you see me watching you.
I love you.
I always want to be watching you.
There were some that I cried and some that I laughed. After they were all read to me, we put them in a little chalice and burned them. And then I played a little short song on the harmonica.
There'd be no record of their existence after that, except, I guess, in the collective memory of the people who came to the unwedding.
But in certain moments, there it would be, and it was perfect. Finbloom and Claire will miss spooning each other's bodies. Claire will miss how everything she ever did with Finbloom had a heightened sense of meaning. Finbloom will miss how yes-saying Claire is and how affirmative it is to be around her. Finbloom will miss Claire's smell. Finn, please lean into dear Claire and take a whiff.
At that point in the ceremony, Finbloom leaned into Claire. I looked around and most of the guests were crying. And I was crying too. It was as if we were all mourning breakups from our own lives, or were getting to say goodbye to the ghosts of relationships past. The ceremony ended with Claire and Finbloom walking out of the park, alone, in separate directions. And there was this distinct question or feeling in the air that hung over everything. The event seemed so right. If they could do something like this together, with such togetherness, why were they breaking up?
Oh yeah, a lot of people like said that to me when I told them about what we were doing. They were like, you guys are doing this amazing thing. Like, you guys can't break up. Like, they said almost exactly that.
Okay, so it's 3 months later. I sat down with Finbloom and Claire to see how everything was going.
So what's going on now? What's the state of you and Claire?
Things are indeterminate a little bit.
Oh, it's so confusing. I mean, obviously, I remember feeling like this is so over. Like, us being in a relationship is, it's not a reality like I can continue with. I'll just say that, like, in the time since the unwedding, Finbloom has just really been great.
You know, we have hooked up a little bit. Did you want me to give a different version of the story?
No. I want the truth, but I want to also express that as the officiator, I suppose if you had gotten married, if I were the officiator of your wedding and then you got a divorce, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
As the officiator of your unwedding funeral, it is a little bit annoying to me that it was just like a fun thing that didn't really like count.
I understand you being annoyed. I think you should be annoyed. But at the time, it felt absolutely real, necessary, eternal, and very meaningful and serious.
In some ways, I feel like the unwedding like purged out a lot of the negativity and replaced it with something positive, which paradoxically makes me look back and then question everything.
Claire and Finbloom thought the unwedding would make their breakup less painful or less lonely, less ugly. But they rekindled their feelings and fell back into breakup purgatory. And that way, they're back where everyone else seems to be. Stuck. Trying to break up.
Bad news. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I gotta let you know that Finbloom and Claire officially broke up. But you know what? They officially broke up before, so I don't know. Let's just thank them for sharing their story. Maybe we'll see them back here next year. That piece was produced by Sharon Mashihi and Rachel James. It was adapted for Snap by Julie DeWitt. It originally came from KCRW's wonderful, unfictional show. We're going to have a link to their program on our website, snapjudgment.org.